The peace of God, it is no peace, but strife closed in the sod. Yet let us pray for but one thing, the marvelous peace of God. I must have been 15, 16, maybe even possibly 17 years old when I first sang those profound and somewhat enigmatic words. There was something about that message about peace that captivated me, especially those words of the last stanza of hymn 661. And it may be that the reason I was captivated was because I desperately needed to find some peace in my own life. I was painfully aware of the fact that my personal life was far too burdened with many experiences of personal strife. It was a hidden kind of personal strife. I was an only child, growing up in a home with two parents whose personal habits and difficulties escalated with each passing year. When I was 12, my parents separated, and I thought and prayed that some peace might result. And it was probably about then that sometimes I discovered that it is unfortunate when you get what you pray for. Because instead of things getting better, they got worse. The combat didn't end. The difficulties only escalated. And as I grew into my teenage years, my mother's emotional demons, fueled by the excessive drinking of both my parents, created a home environment for me that was frequently abusive, chaotic, and always unstable. And because I was an only child, and because in the home of most alcoholics, the mantra is don't think, don't talk, and don't feel, I felt very alone and isolated. And what I craved most in my life was a safe and peaceful place to be. When I was a sophomore in high school, I discovered just such a place by the grace of God and through the intervention of my sophomore year English teacher, who invited me to go with her to Christ Episcopal Church in Eureka, something that I suspect would not happen in today's schools. But in that community at Christ Church, I found love, unquestioned acceptance, stability, and peace. I suspect that for any of us who happen to find our way into a community of faith during a time of personal crisis and turmoil, what we most hunger for, besides some answers, is love, understanding, and peace. Jesus' disciples, as we encounter them in this morning's gospel, were in much the same kind of situation. Jesus had been crucified. As we heard in this morning's gospel, the disciples had hidden themselves away behind locked doors, and they were in an emotional shambles. Undoubtedly, most of them felt some degree of guilt and put themselves through the kinds of thoughts that we often have when we're feeling guilty, like, if only we had done something differently. If only we had been more attentive. If only we had convinced Jesus not to go to Jerusalem. Maybe he would still be alive. They were bewildered and they were angry too about one of their own, Judas, who had betrayed Jesus. And they were not any happier with the religious authorities or the civil authorities who had engineered Jesus' death. They felt a devastating sense of grief at the death of the one who had been their teacher, their good friend, and the one who was now labeled as a petty criminal. Nothing more than simply a difficult person in a society, a person easily eliminated. But a dangerous person nonetheless. And since they were the disciples of Jesus, they were not sure that they were safe. Maybe they would be the next ones to be arrested and killed. They had to have been at their wits' end, worried about what was going to happen to them now that Jesus was dead. So there they were, barricaded behind locked doors, imprisoned, not just by the locked doors, but by their own emotional conflicts. And they were trying to figure out, where do we go from here? How do we pick up the pieces? Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Jesus appears to them, oblivious evidently to their locked doors, but well aware of the emotional chaos that they are feeling. And the first words out of Jesus' mouth are, "Peace be with you," or in Hebrew, "Shalom Aleichem." But when we hear that term peace, we think most often of a life that's tranquil, no hassles. The shalom that Jesus spoke to his disciples was not one that promised them freedom from conflict or struggle. When they heard his greeting, they knew that because they understood the meaning of shalom. In Hebrew, shalom or peace refers to well-being, not necessarily tranquility. It's a hope for the fullness of life, a sense of completeness, a life filled with zest and delight and prosperity and growth and abundance, but not necessarily a life devoid of pain or difficulty. Then Jesus, by his actions at that encounter with the disciple, deepens the meaning of shalom. After his greeting of peace, Jesus shows the disciples his wounds, the wounds in his hands and his feet and his side. Then he says to his disciples again, "Peace be with you." You see, in giving that greeting and showing his wounds, he is saying, this is how you will find peace in your life. How you will discover well-being and fullness of life by embracing my wounds and all that they mean. And I think by implication, by embracing your own wounds and all that they mean. Jesus' wounds came to him because he did not run from the strife of the world around him. The strife closed in the sod. He loved the unlovable. He reached out to those the world had rejected or marginalized, especially the religious world. He loved even those who despised him. And he taught his disciples to do the same thing. Jesus' offer of peace is one that comes to us especially poignantly when we are experiencing the storms and tempests of life. During those pain-filled times, the situations of suffering, the wounded places in our lives. And I would never argue that woundedness or difficulty is a good thing necessarily. But I would argue that those are like the thin places in life where we are especially gifted to be able to come into contact and experience the reality of the peace and presence of Christ that we would not necessarily find when everything is going along beautifully for us. Jesus' peace does not protect us from encountering difficulties. But he says to us, even in the midst of those kinds of situations where your life is a shambles, know that I, as the wounded healer have come to you, and you are to be a wounded healer in the world. You are to be a presence of love at times that are tough, and you are to be a person who is filled with reconciling love. And as if to reinforce that lesson, 1 week after Jesus appears to the disciples the first time, we're told in today's gospel that he again greets the assembled group, and this time Thomas is present. Again, Jesus says to them, "Peace be with you." Thomas, who wanted proof that Jesus had indeed been resurrected from the dead, is invited by Jesus to personally encounter his wounds. I think it's unfair often that Thomas is described as doubting Thomas, because the reality is that he was just asking for the same experience that the disciples had had the week before. And so Jesus says to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side." And when Thomas saw this and heard the invitation, he heard the shalom of Jesus, and that shalom became a reality for him. What the resurrected Jesus teaches his first disciples and those of us who have followed in his footsteps is that his peace brings with it no promise of tranquility or ease or the absence of challenges. His peace is a peace that connects us with our own woundedness and the wounds of the people in the world around us. It is the peace that is found in the midst of life, in all of its pain and promise. To experience the peace of Christ in your life, you have to be fully alive in the world as it is now, in your life as it is now, doing your part of loving, healing, supporting, and inspiring others with the values and ethics of Jesus. What I learned many years ago as a teenager, and what I've had to relearn many times over since then, and I think we all have to relearn it, is that the peace of Christ, the peace of God that passes all understanding, is not an escape into the world of celebrity, if there is such a thing, tranquility. It's not an escape into a place where there is no struggle. Jesus' peace has everything to do with being connected to his expectation that we, like him, will be wounded healers and lovers, lovers of the world for which he gave his life. It is into such living, as we encounter that living and embrace it with our full being, that we also encounter the peace that we all seek every single day. As the hymn puts it so well, "The peace of God, it is no peace, but strife closed in the sod. Yet let us pray for but one thing, the marvelous peace of God." Amen.